right, welcome into the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. The podcast is officially back with all three of us in here. I'm Brandon Lowe. Next to me, Ryan Pritt. Across from us, the beautiful producer, editor, Jack Withrow. Did you miss that? Me calling you beautiful?
No, Ryan called me.
Oh, great.
I talked about my beard. Yeah. Of course, I shaved it back down.
But, I see that. Yeah. Is it because of the weather?
I don't know.
It's itchy, though, too.
I don't know what to do.
See, in this room is the time he probably regrets shaving.
Yeah.
It's nice to have one right now. My chin's pretty
warm.
It
is freezing in here.
Yeah. But I went and got my long sleeve on, so.
All right. Being presented
hang
by,
some meat later.
Yeah. Being presented by HD Media Sports Video Productions. You can find our episodes all across the board on all those platforms. Of course, we premiere these episodes Mondays and Fridays at 4 p.m. I feel like I've been off this show for, I was telling the boys before I went on, like 3 months, it seemed, but it's only been 2 weeks. But
it's been three episodes.
You're looking good.
Yeah. What do you mean I'm looking good?
You're just looking good, man. Thank like, you got a little tan
did
going.
Did you
go to Florida?
He never tells me I'm looking good. I've been in front of him for 2 weeks.
I never hear that, so I mean, appreciate
been
that.
Been down to Florida, got a little tan.
Is this what you call a tan? Because it looks more like
that
red.
Looks a little bit like a burn to me.
Yeah. I don't tan anymore. Whenever I was a kid, and my wife doesn't believe me.
Yeah,
my wife doesn't believe me that I tan because the sun just doesn't, we just don't go hand in hand anymore.
We're both vampires.
Yeah. So I just get burnt, but my daughter got a nice tan. The wife tans well, so, and so does Zeke over there in the corner. So
I figured you probably got one in the time it took you to push a vehicle off the road.
Where's that drum? Yeah, Ryan bringing the pain and the heat already.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you expect anything else?
Bunch of a-holes. No.
You did listen to the show when you were gone,
I was going to say, it was way worse when you weren't on
here. Yeah, I heard some. I've listened to some parts. I listened to Joey on here, which was great. You guys did a great job with that.
You didn't listen to us, though.
Yeah, well, Joey's, you don't really have to do a great job with Joey. He can take it.
The one with Grant and then some of the one with Joey. But I didn't really, I just wanted to see what the segment was like. So, very cool segment,
Speaking
guys.
Of that segment, we'll have another today, right?
Yep, Luke Salmon's going to come on, Cabell Midland head coach. And, you know, last year they made it to the semis and had a nice season. And, you know, we're just going to kind of see where, you know, all these teams as we've talked about, we don't really know kind of what they have right now. I mean, we can kind of look at last year's roster and what they've done. But Midland's obviously Midland every single year for the most part. And we're going to have some fun with him, too, with some questions and throw some randomness at him, too. So it should be a lot of fun. We're going to do it the HD Media coverage area. So where HD Media covers Canal, Cabell, Putnam.
Logan. Dingo.
Yeah, so Baron. All those. So we'll
Lincoln.
Wayne.
Yeah. Wayne. Yeah. So all those, we're going to try to grab some coaches every episode and all the way leading up to kickoff, which is really cool.
Yep. It ought to be fun. We also have an All-American on the show today.
Yeah, All-American golfer. Bridgeport product.
Yeah. Like 2019 Mason Williams. West Virginia amateur champ.
Mm-hmm. Two-time state champion, right?
Yeah.
Individual state
One of the best heads of lettuce I've ever seen. I guess he cut it off.
He's got
this
nice
year,
hair. Yeah, he has some nice locks there for a little
that.
Bit.
I don't understand that. We're going to get to the bottom of that mystery. But
he was the only one on the team to go to the final round as an individual in the NCAA Golf Championships, tied for 20th.
Dude's got a little game.
And
he can swing it a little bit.
Named an All-American and was all first team Sun Belt, right?
Yeah.
So, and that team really came on because they were outside. I was reading about I think the coach posted something. They were right outside the top 100 through like three events, and they just really started to catch fire. So they ended up, 25th as a team
something
in
like
the NCAA.
That. Yeah.
So. Good for them, and we'll be talking to him, too, so I'm excited. But anyway, yeah, Disney was
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to get to the first one. We got Zeke over here in the corner just flashing the Mickey Mouse shirt. Just to let everybody know, hey.
Hey, Disney was cool.
Where we were last week.
Disney, for the most part, the trip was cool. The drive was a lot, but, you know, the worst part was breaking down in the last toll or outside of, I guess that would be, what, Marmette, and then...
Oh, you were that. I thought you meant you were at the first. So you were almost.
No,
you could see Charleston
almost there.
From where you were.
Yeah, I was like 30 minutes out from Charleston.
Oh, that's so much. Of course, that came after a brewery stop.
Yeah, and we just stopped there because we didn't try it before, and we were actually looking for wineries because we like to stop at a winery before. The wife likes to stop at those, and a lot of them didn't.
The wife.
Yeah, well, I like them too.
Home Depot. Do you have enough time?
But no.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
No, I would have had to push the car
Olive Garden?
Into. Although I would have had way more people to push the car at that point, but
well, I mean, all right,
just went to Disney and Ford BWs.
we've documented the car, and that's terrible. But
yeah, to push it across six
for
lanes.
For the 7 day, how long were you down? Was this a 7 day trip, 8 day, 9 day, 10 day? What do we have here?
We got down there. What was it, Sunday
1%. Evening?
Yeah,
Sunday evening.
So 7 days, total.
Yeah, because we stopped. Okay. We stopped on Saturday evening.
I want to know. I want to hear the stories we have not yet heard yet. There had to be. You do not go on family vacation for 7 days without some kind of something happening. I know because I went on a lot of them as a kid.
Well, our friend who lives right outside of Charlotte, we would have stayed at her place, but she works certain hours. She works for the airport there, so she told us to stay in this town called Statesville.
I know where Statesville is,
which is right outside of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been to Statesville, it's not what she described it to be. Like there was nothing there. It was, it's pretty bad. So they basically have hotels right outside the interstate. But if you actually make the mistake of going into Statesville, you're like, where am I? It's like a wasteland. So we got lost in there for a little bit, and then we got gas, and then we left
you
there.
You got lost in Statesville?
Well, we did like a circle almost because the wife and I were going back and forth, and I kept telling her, let's get out of this.
So you guys were going round and round,
hole.
And the car was going round and round.
Yeah, and I was like, we were not staying in this town. I wouldn't take a dump here. Sorry if you live in Statesville or you're from there. So we ended up in Jonesville, which is like heaven compared to Statesville. Jonesville. I mean, it was like literally 10 miles up the road. You had all kinds of restaurants and a gas station had everything there. It was Walmart. Just, it was totally different. Yeah. I don't know if Walmart was there, probably, but it was just totally different. This place that her friend said was great. And I was like, don't ever tell us to go there ever again. So that was kind of a thing. But other than that, it wasn't too bad other than yell at the kids to shut up every once in a while because they're just back there bickering and.
How are the lines?
The line, oh man! So they're long,
yeah. Like 2 hours, right, 3 hours.
Because like we took the kids to a lot of the kid rides too, but Ratatouille or whatever it was in Epcot, and it was like 2.5 hours standing outside, and it was like a 15-second ride. I mean, the thing was just like go around three, and that was it.
Heat index,
pretty warm. 90? I mean, it was like 89% most of the time.
Upper 90s.
Yeah, I mean. Here's the thing, as you know, Ryan, like 90 in Florida is
might as well be 140.
Like 140 here.
Right. Yeah.
So I was just sweating the entire time. Like, that was the worst part because the humidity is just absolutely atrocious.
Food prices? Awful.
Pretty expensive.
Did you drink any beers in the park?
Yeah.
Over or under double figures for a beer?
Oh, it just depended on where you went. So, like, if you went to, like, especially, like, when you're in Epcot, I don't know, it's, like, it's different countries, which is kind of, it's pretty dope because you go to, like, Italy and France and UK and all that stuff. So, depending on, it was kind of funny because, like, Mexico, because they had Mexico there, all their food prices were just, like, going to, like, a Mexican joint. It was, like, $14 a plate or $10 or whatever. And then you go to France and they have, like, this fancy restaurant you can sit down in, and it's like $60 a plate.
Yeah, I would never leave Mexico.
And we were just like, yeah, it was awesome.
Be there the whole time.
The margaritas, yeah. Like, were awesome. I mean, it was killer.
So wait, and I'm a dummy because I've never been to Disney, so I'm really asking because I'm curious. So you're saying it, the center is like a building, and inside there's different segments for different countries?
For Epcot, yeah. So Epcot's more like the cultural side and everything else, and that was the crappy part too. Is when we thought we were going to Magic Kingdom. They said that they were sold. Like, we thought we had tickets to Magic. Like, there was this whole thing, a horror deal. So we ended up in Epcot for pretty much the entire time because everything else was just booked, and we thought we had Magic. It was just that was the chaotic part.
See, this is those kind of stories. That's what I'm talking about. You got a ticket, and then they told you, no, you don't have a ticket?
We thought we had Magic Kingdom, and it was actually Epcot and all this. That was just confusion. And then when we get there, like, you were supposed to, the guy that, I don't know, it was a whole confusing part.
You never made it to the Magic Kingdom?
Not Magic Kingdom, no.
Wow.
But we're going to go back, though.
What is in the Magic Kingdom?
They have different forms. Like, Epcot's cool, though, because, like I said, it's more of like, and she got to meet, my daughter got to meet Elsa and Anna and all that stuff.
Facebook. That's cool.
Yeah, so they get to meet princesses and stuff. We met Goofy when we got in there. So, and then we went into the ball. They have a ride in there, which is pretty cool. It's like the spacecraft or whatever they call
Space
it.
Mountain?
Space Mountain or something.
Whatever it was.
It's like the fastest one, right?
But you go up in it. No, it was like a thing where you just go up in this ball and it shows you like space, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. But that's what, I mean, overall was a pretty decent, and there, I kept going to that place, Rockin' Brews. It was, like, the only place we would go to eat because it was awesome. You would love that place.
Oh, I'm sure. So, like, did you all go to the park 6 days?
No. So, we did Discovery Cove. You would love that place, too, by the way, since you're into marine biology and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can just say I'm a dork. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's crazy because I don't know. It was cool because you snorkel. They have a sea.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a saltwater tank, and they give you a snorkel.
So, you put a wetsuit on?
Yeah. Which, oh, my God, that's the nightmare, dude. So, oh, man.
Saw your dad in a wetsuit?
How the hell was that?
It was like looking at Shamu.
Scarred for life over here.
But, no, it was terrible. So, it's funny because when you walk up to get your sweat, or your, what I call it, a sweatsuit more than anything, because I was sweating my ass off.
Yeah, if you don't stay in the water.
Yeah, it was awful.
Sounds like the beginning of a Jackass skit.
Yeah. So, so you roll up, and they have these ladies there, and they just look at you, and then they get your size. Don't even ask your size.
Princess Elsa, they just look at you. Wetsuit.
Discovery Cove is like, it's like a side piece of SeaWorld. So it's like the same affiliation.
So you snorkel. What animals are you snorkeling with? Like,
it was all kinds of like tropical fish, huge like stingrays. And I mean, it was cool. He kept falling around this like, it's like a hybrid. Zeke, what was that called? I don't know if you can hear me, but it was like a hybrid of a stingray and like a shark. I don't
skate.
Is that what it is? And that thing was massive, dude. Like, it was at the bottom. Yeah. It was cool. That part was really cool. We went in with a dolphin, which was pretty cool. And that was, the kids loved that.
Did you get to get, did the dolphin kiss you?
Yeah. Cool. You're not allowed to hit, this is a funny part. So,
no, I had to kiss it back.
No, yeah, you can't make out with it. But they tell you the new rule is COVID. So you can't kiss it on the, like, on its, they call it the lips. I'm like, does it have lips?
It's a snout.
It's a snout, yeah. So Absolutely. They say you can't, like, directly kiss it. You have to turn your head and let it kiss you on the cheek because they don't know if they can contract COVID or not. So that's a whole new thing. I laughed and everybody just kind of looked at me. Like, we're talking about COVID with dolphins.
Back into the water, probably would rinse whatever bacteria
is
there.
Right, exactly.
On.
Yeah.
So. You should have just put a mask on underneath the water.
Yeah. Put the mask on the dolphin.
Mask on over the snorkel.
Yeah. So also with that, with my glasses and stuff, this was pretty cool. So I was like, man, am I going to get to do this? Because I want to see the fish and stuff. I'm down there.
I would have that issue.
And so at the beginning of the park, you can go to the gift shop and you can sign out goggles that are like your prescription. Like, it's crazy. Like, I was like, there's no way they're going to get mine. I'm blind. There's no way. And they have you try on a couple, and she goes, hey, you know, can you see me? And she steps back, and I was like, holy hell. Like, I found me goggles that I could
see. So you could have just like done that whenever. Like, just gone down and snorkeled.
Yeah. Well,
was that extra, or did you?
Yeah, that was extra.
Okay.
Yeah. That's expensive. We bought it ahead of time. If you.
I was looking like expensive. Kurt Rambis in a wetsuit.
It was, yeah. I was, dude.
Had the goggles on.
Although Kurt, he's a little thinner than me.
Yeah, but once you put that wetsuit on, it just.
Yeah,
I mean, well, let's be fair. That wetsuit isn't flattering for anybody.
No.
Not for guys like us.
Yeah, I mean, oh, no, I'd look horrible in that.
My belly was just.
It wouldn't be so much that. It would be like an outward angle from my ass to my shoulders because I have no ass at all.
That was like the
frog that put on a wetsuit, and he had a belly.
Have you put one on before?
No.
Did they're crazy because you just have to pull. I mean, it's so tight. It has to be tight.
So wait, why do you have to wear a wetsuit? Is the water that cold?
Yeah, it's cold.
Really?
The saltwater
fish.
Yeah. It's not like it's about 70 degrees.
I figure tropical fish.
That's cold.
I mean,
that's cold.
It is cold.
Yeah.
I figure tropical fish would just live in warm water.
Well, it's got, I don't know why, but that's what, but you can go to the Lazy River part, which that part is cool. And it's just fresh water. It's not like pool with chlorine. It's fresh water.
Oh, and there's
fish
in
there. So you just roll through there. There's birds. We went and there's a bird sanctuary. You went in and you hold your arm out and birds land on you. And it was pretty dope, man. I like that. But yeah.
See, that sounds more like me.
You would have loved that place.
I don't want to wait 2 hours to ride a roller.
Do you have any money left or you got to go see Chris Wade and. Follow him around for a job.
Yeah, it's, I sold some drugs on the way here. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But no, we're broke right now. Yeah, for sure.
What cost more, the trip or the gas to get down and back?
The gas actually wasn't bad.
Really?
Because of the car that we took.
What were you dropping?
We were in a Fusion, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I didn't spend that much in gas. I mean, even if we would have taken my wife's CRV, if the air compressor wasn't a piece of garbage, that thing's great on gas, too.
Yeah. It's still tough.
Can't take the money. There's no way. I would have spent $6,000 on that car.
I got to drive to Orange Beach, Alabama in July.
Oh, yeah?
It may be $6 a gallon, but I'm kind of like.
Yeah, I'm here in August. It's like $7. Here, $7
just
a gallon.
Just in time for me to start making two trips a week to Morgantown.
Yes. It's awesome.
Cool.
But yeah, the trip wasn't too bad.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah, so overall, good experience then.
Not bad until the end.
You said you're going back? You're going back.
Yeah, but this time we're gonna fly.
It didn't get into Magic Kingdom. I mean,
that's what we're going to do.
That's Disney.
Yeah.
That's where the castle is and the parades and.
See, I have no interest in Disney. I would rather go to Cedar Point.
I don't either, but
I like roller coasters.
Doing it for the kids. I mean,
fast.
It's about the kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Malia to Kings Island or Cedar Point for the first time in a few weeks.
That's cool.
She's finally tall enough to ride the big rides, but the problem is she's never, to my knowledge, been on a roller coaster before.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about just saying the hell with it. Like, like they say, take a baby and throw it in a pool and it'll swim. I'm just going to put her ass on the beast.
That's what we did our oldest son.
Yeah. To the beast first.
To me too.
We took him to the beast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very first. He cried on the way up.
If
the first
Cedar
year.
Point, I may just say
the beast is the
Millennium. Good. Millennium Force, 300 feet in the air.
There
Let's
you go.
91 miles an hour. Let's see how you do, kid. But I'm kind of worried because she's so small. I feel like I got to be like that parent that keeps an arm like over her lap in addition to the lap.
When you're gone,
the kid only weighs like 68 pounds. Like she can basically float at 300 feet, right?
That's true.
Some
gravity might pull her out.
Kind of worried about it. She's like this thin, dude. She can just slip right out from under the lap belt and it wouldn't be good. So
yeah,
I don't know.
So you're gonna throw her on the coaster and see how it goes?
Yeah, hell, we'll go.
You sure she'll get on it, though? Because there's that whole thing where you watch everybody on it before you're going in.
Brandon, here's the thing. She doesn't want to be grounded.
get on
that coaster, you're grounded. I'm just kidding. No, I guess if it came to that, we would. I mean, Kelsey's like me, though. She loves coasters. Like, that's my thing. I would rather go to, like, a Six Flags. I've been to Universal twice. Both times hated it.
Yeah.
It's just too long. It's too damn hot. I don't want to wait 3 hours to sit inside a room and watch like a 5-minute clip of something that acts like I'm in virtual. Nah, that's not me.
Yeah.
Put me on something going 100. Let's go fast.
See, that's my wife, but I don't know. I've never really liked coasters. I'll get on them. I never really enjoyed them that much, but I'll get on them. But I'm just like, eh. Like, it'll scare me a little bit.
Some of those ones at Cedar Point now are out of control.
Well, I'm sure they get more
gravity and stuff.
Yeah, they get more and more crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like, how about we just dangle you outside the cart while we go, you know, we'll just strap you to the side of it and we'll go 100.
The only thing I can't do is be up high and go round and round. Like, that, they have the most terrifying stuff at Cedar Point, Kings Island now ever, and it's the huge swing set.
Yes, those.
You know, like, the swing set, the carnival rides, now they put them 300 feet
in
the
air.
I got on one of those, and I literally almost cried.
My wife, she said that was the one thing she said she just couldn't do again.
See, like
never
being suspended,
dude,
by two chains.
And the one at Cedar Point is built right on the shore of Lake Erie, which always has a 25-mile-an-hour wind, and you can feel it.
Yeah,
feel it doing this, and I'm like, nah, you got to
get
me
shaking.
Off of this.
Yeah,
damn
it's shaking
thing.
The thing. Yeah. So.
What I didn't like was the drop zone.
I rode one.
That's eerie feeling right there when you're going up on that one.
Busch Gardens in Tampa, right?
Yeah, that's the one you're talking about.
My buddy who lives down there is like, dude, you got to get on this. I'm like you. I'm like, I don't. So he didn't tell me what it does, but it takes you like 280, 300 feet. And when you're up there, the bottom of it starts coming inward. So you're forced like
to
over.
Look
and the only thing that's holding you, you're parallel to the ground with just a chest bar in here. And it's like, oh, and then they let you go. So you're like face
like
first.
Looking at death.
And then they go right in, it releases, and you like swing. Oh, it's.
No thanks.
Yeah. Nah. Never again.
That drop zone at Kings Island, we were in line for it. I'd never ridden it before. And we were in line to do it, and I saw a grown man get off crying. I was like, oh, man, this is not good.
Yeah, it's tough.
Wow.
But it takes you up, and then it starts just turning so you can see everything. You're looking over into Kentucky.
It's up there. And then that's higher than Eiffel Tower.
You hear, like, it starts clicking.
Yeah.
That and noise is terrible,
fake,
too.
Fake clicks. Yeah, you're just thinking you're getting ready to go, but you don't. Yeah. And then it releases.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break because when we come back, we're going to talk with Cabell Midland head football coach Luke Sammons, continue our segments that we're doing with every coach here in the listening coverage area. Scoop and Score.
That's aptly named by the beautiful Jack Withrow.
Yep. Beautiful Jack Withrow coming up with the segment name. And then we'll do what we call inside that a little 12-pack of questions inside the Scoop and Score. Where
see what we come up with this week.
Each three, the three of us will ask four questions each and throw some things at coach, have some fun with them. And as we get to kind of know their team as well, we're kind of early, and obviously we're doing these periods where they flex days or whatever they call it, right? So where they can work with their team and all that stuff. So we'll get the lowdown with Midland's coach here coming up, Luke Sammons, here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. Here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt, presented by HD Media Sports and Video Productions. And joining us now here on the show, our little Scoop and Score segment, Luke Sammons, Cabell Midland head football coach. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
So I was on a podcast with Zach Davis yesterday, and he asked me, do you wish it was football season all year long, and you're going to get these flex days? And obviously, I said, you know, a coach will tell you if football never stops anyway. That's usually kind of a fan thing. But kind of talk about where you left off last season and now you're heading into this season, how you're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't end. You know, that's just kind of the created by us as coaches, I think, and, you know, our society and all that. And you want to try to win games, you got to work all year. So, we started back in January, and great attendance as always, great commitment. Got close to 100 kids working. So we're excited about that, excited about where we're at. We know where we need to be, but kids have done a great job this off season, and they work extremely hard. And so I'm really, really excited about where we're at. Love the off season. Feel like that's where you win football games. I feel like when you get to the season, it's just football, and it's a little bit different. But where we left off last year, we got beat in the semifinals. Good season. We didn't have too many seniors for us, but the seniors were good. You know, some of them were first-year starters in the backfield and that sort of thing. But they were all tough players, and they worked hard, and really good program guys that came through, and I don't know, just good kids, good tough kids that worked really hard. And you know, that group only lost really one game, regular season game, in 3 years, so they're a good group of kids. So we're excited about this year. Have a really good sophomore class, good junior class, you know, seniors to be and juniors to be. Worked really hard, and we're excited about this season.
Coach, you mentioned, excuse me, you mentioned that you thought, you know, games were won in the off season, and, you know, obviously, you know, I think a lot of coaches buy into that philosophy. For you guys, it's a little different. I think your 3-week period starts next month. So, you know, what are you guys doing right now? How do you handle the 3-week period when it's in July? Because I believe it bleeds right into the season, if I'm not wrong. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're off this week. We gave them 10 days off starting in June. Then we give them another 10 days off around the 4th of July. So we give them 20 days off in the summer. So they're still trying. I'm sure they're working out and that sort of thing. But the thing that's different with us, our kid, I mean, and a lot of teams are like us, I'm sure, in the state. But our kids are going to when they're there, they're all going to be there. There's, you know, they're going to work. And to me, that's the number one thing is commitment. If they're all working together and they believe in each other, scheme's important, but you know, that's, to me, that's a very small part of what you do. We haven't even really worked, of course, as coaches. We've worked, we've been to some colleges and talked to some people, and we haven't got a football out with the kids. We're not in no hurry for that, you know, because we got a lot of kids. We don't know where they're going to play. And to me, you know, if you got a lot of kids out, I think the kids got to earn it. And I don't care who they are. So if they're, if you just put them in a position, and even if they know, and, you know, I mean, we divide them up and let them compete when we get start July, and on separate teams, and kind of, you know, kind of make them earn it, you know, make them earn it. So they all know where they stand. And that's why they, to me, that's why we have high numbers. You know, we do have a big school, but at the same time, they believe they all get a chance to play. Now I'll get a chance to earn it. And I think that's important. So I like the July period better than the June. July rolls right into the season. You know, we don't get away from weight training and conditioning. It's not all football in July. It's, we still want to train and be strong when we get to our first few weeks of the season. So we don't lose sight of, we don't supplement football, all football, just for, you know, we want to continue to get stronger, continue to stay in great shape and stay healthy and still practice football at the same time.
You know, you're talking about preparation in June, and some of those kids are trying to figure out where they want to play. And I know you had a veteran O-line last year, but a guy, Ozzie, over there at Marshall, kind of helping out some of your current players, Logan. Can you kind of talk about that and how important that is and having him kind of step in and help some of those kids trying to find their way?
Yeah, I mean, Logan's always been a great kid. He's a tough kid, works real hard, smart. He was a leader, and, you know, he's going to be a really, you know, he's one of really good for Marshall, and it's all because he's worked. And he gives back, you know. He comes and, you know, he's helped Sean some, and, you know, just some drill work and different things like that. So it's cool to see as a coach. He's a great kid. I love him. You know, JJ, he comes back. All those kids, I mean, they love, which is a great thing. They, when they first come in, and that's where they train, you know, that's where they want to be. They don't go other places or other gyms. They want to work out there because they, you know, it meant a lot to them, and I think they felt home there. And so I think as a coach, that's always neat to see that the players that you did coach give them back, number one, and number two, want to, you know, still care about Midland. You know, they're always texting and always asking questions, and kids are going to college, or is he going to this camp, or so it's like a big family, and to me, that's important.
You know, speaking of his camps, and I'd mention that because I read that on Coach Huff over there at Marshall, and, you know, he said, you know, in the days of the transfer portal, recruiting obviously has changed with, you know, high school kids, and the one big thing he wanted to put in and emphasize, which I'm sure you know, is trying to get the best talent still here in the state coming out of high school. So I still think these camps are important, and it's good to see your kids go over there, and it's good to see Coach Huff kind of support still recruiting these high school kids in the local area.
Yeah, he's offered three of our kids, and I think there could be even more than that from our younger kids. But yeah, I think camps are important. I think there's a lot of camps, you know, a lot, and you know, I know we got some kids going to camp, some kids don't. It's whatever, you know, kind of whatever benefits them. We've taken them, they've drove, whatever. You know, we kind of just help them, whatever, and talk to them and communicate with them. But they're all different in recruiting. Every kid's kind of different. I always tell parents that it's, you can't compare yourself to another kid. You can't, you know, I mean, it's just, it's like a business. It's weird. But once, you know, you start getting going and getting offers and recruited, then it seems like it snowballs. So, but, you know, we got some good kids, and I appreciate Coach Huff for recruiting our kids. And, Sean just got offered from there, and one of our linemen, and you know, so you know, and Sean loves Marshall, so it does mean a lot to these local kids if they're good enough to play. And there's some good kids in our state, and I think it means a lot to them, you know, just like Logan and and other kids that, you know, locally that play. I was one of those kids, and it's neat. I think it helps your culture. It helps your kids. It helps everything. You know, it helps get people in the stands. I think it's a good deal.
You know, over the last decade, Luke, I think it's, you know, with what Martinsburg's been able to do really since the millennium, they've kind of established themselves as the standard bearer, I think, in the state. I think that's fair. But, you know, on that next tier right under them, you could argue that maybe along with Bridgeport, it's all three of you guys down in the Huntington area. I was just kind of curious, you know, why do you think, you know, such a high level of football has been established in your area between you and Huntington and Spring Valley? And does the fact that, you know, all three of you are good make each other better every year when it comes to working and striving to improve?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all work, number one. I mean, you know, if we didn't work in a house, I mean, hard all off season, and same way as them, I mean, you know, you got to work, and there's no secret to being successful in anything you do. You know, I tell the kids that all the time. I mean, there's no guarantees this year we're going to win games just because we've had a lot of success. It's, you got to work, you know. And a few things I'm proud of with our program is, you know, just the fact that, you know, our kids know how to work. Our kids know how to be a part of a team, and it means a lot to them. And I think a lot of those traits will carry on in their lives. And you see some of the success they have when they move on. That's a great thing. But I think it just comes down to work. Of course, you got to have good kids. And to me, you got to have a program. And a lot of people talk about that, but it's different. You know, culture and program is like something that people throw around a lot, but it's more about, you know, like Logan giving back. Like, you know, just that's an example. Kids wanting to be on the sidelines at games, you know, other kids helping each other out. You know, it's bigger than them. Just, you know, we've lost, I think, 7 head coaching guys, the head coaching job since I've been there. And it seems like we just, you know, guys step in and do a great job. So it's a neat thing to see. It's always a challenge. It's a hard thing. And Huntington and Spring Valley have done well, you know, and, you know, I don't, as a coach, I don't worry about them. You know, we know they're going to be good. We kind of, if you worry about the other teams, you're losing focus, you know, of your kids. So, we respect them, and we know that, you know, I mean, it's a rivalry game, and we know every, you know, that's a tough game. So, you know, another thing I was, you know, bragging a little bit about our off season, but, you know, a lot of coaches come through and work it, watched our kids work out, and a lot of college coaches. And one thing they said, one guy sent me a text and said that, high school program in 25 years, you know, recruiting work at a level that we work at. And I told our kids that that's impressive. So I was really excited about that. And stuff like that means a lot to me, just because I know the kids and they can see it, that what they're doing matters. And a lot of times in, you know, the world we live in and everything, you know, everybody wants the easy way, but you know, the easy way is often the hard way, and the hard way is the easy way. So I feel like we've planted a lot of seeds in January and February and March, and our JV teams have won a lot of games. And so I feel like there's going to be some kids that surprise a lot of people this year, because they're going to have their chance. And a lot of those sophomores and even juniors that, you know, didn't really play a lot, it's not because they weren't pretty good football players. They just weren't quite there yet. And I feel like they're going to be there. So that's exciting.
Well, Coach, you want to have some fun real quick with us? We're going to do a little segment called Scoop and Score. It's where we throw some questions, rapid fire kind of questions at you. They're just random questions. Some could be, I don't know if we have any sport-related ones in there, or they can just have some fun. So
there's a few.
There's a few, yeah. You want to have some fun with us?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you want me? Let's have some fun then. You
That's
want
a nervous to, laugh.
Yeah, yeah, it makes me a little nervous. Yeah, I can always use no comment.
I can remember a day when Brandon would ask, "Do you want to have some fun?" and it involved almost getting arrested.
That's true. That is true.
That could mean a lot of different things. You know?
Yeah, just be glad you're over the phone and not here in person. You're pretty.
Yeah, you're for safe. Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so am I kicking it off?
Kick it off.
All right, right out the gate. If you can create a new Olympic sport to compete in where you're sure to win a gold medal, which would that be?
Myself?
Yeah.
Or just anybody?
Yeah, you.
Ooh. I don't know. I really, that's a hard one.
It is.
I was going to say full contact golf, but that, I always wanted to see that. But,
you know. That sounds good.
But I couldn't win that. You know what I mean?
I love it. Yeah.
Full contact golf. I love it.
All right.
Right. Hey, Coach, what constitutes a perfect hot dog? What are you putting on it?
Everything.
Everything.
And making sure it has coleslaw.
There you go.
Okay. That's a Jack staple, yeah, too.
Coleslaw. Yeah, got to have coleslaw. Have we're that. Down. We're below that line.
You so. Got to have that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Coach, I know you wear Crocs.
Yes.
Do you wear socks with your Crocs?
No. I did one time my first year. We played Bridgeport on Friday night in the second round of the playoffs, and I didn't wear them until halftime, and they were beating us so bad I lost all functioning. I had to wear them. So I think that was the only time, for sure, but there might have been another time. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of soft in my opinion. So I just kind of, you know, stay strong with that. Now, if the game's out of hand either way, it's cold, and it's not good. But
all right, we're taking you back to 90s boy bands, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys.
I'd say neither.
That's the correct choice.
Great answer.
That is the correct answer.
It's a trick question there. And
that's not the answer Joey Fields gave us.
He had that Now album, yeah, man.
Big fan of the modern pop, Joey Fields. Who would have known?
There you go.
Trout fillets or deer meat?
Oh, I'd say both. That's what I grew up on, deer meat and trout. And my dad, and that's all we did was fish. And, I mean, that's what he does all winter. And but, you know, I like them both, to be honest.
That's also the correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Coach, looking at your schedule, you only have a 9-game schedule, if I'm correct there. But looking at it, if you could win only one game on your schedule and you could choose this game, who would it come against?
One game?
Yep. who are you beating on the schedule?
I can't answer that.
He can't fathom anyone.
Win every game.
Right.
Can't fathom. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but one game, I mean, I don't know what I'd do if we won one game. I'd go crazy. I don't care who it is. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be happy.
All right. Coach, what would be your theme song if you had to pick a theme song for your life? What would be your theme song?
My life.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, now I got four boys, and oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know. I really.
What do you think of Eddie Griffin show or whistling it? That might work.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not too crazy, so.
Maybe the Married with Children theme song.
There you go. Love and marriage. Yeah, there you go.
That's funny. Right. I don't know. You guys give two. Those are all songs. I'm not really I don't know. I'm not I don't even know if I ever listen to the radio.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Too much. I mean, sometimes, but I, you know, usually try to. That's my time to think, you know.
So, there you go.
Coach, if you had to dance in front of a crowd or sing in front of a crowd, what would you choose and what would you dance or sing?
That's a good one.
Definitely dance. But. There we go again with the music. I have no
flash idea. Dance.
I'd have to do whatever. It doesn't matter.
All right. If a fan comes to your town to watch a game, where's the best place to eat and what do they order?
Oh, in our town. Oh, no.
Plenty of places down there.
I know. Shoot. Listen, I'm a lineman, so that's an extremely hard question. I would have to dissect, I don't know, because I could eat pizza every day, or I could eat every food I could eat every day. Like, it doesn't matter to me. So,
sound like us.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, I like everything from, Geno's to, just whatever. I couldn't tell someone.
You mean you don't go down there to Fat Patty's and have a big old burger and wings?
Not too often. Oscars? But
Oscars?
Yeah, I like Fat Patty's. Yeah. I like Oscars. Yeah. I like Fat Patty's. I like all the local, all of them, yep.
All right, last one for me, and then Ryan's going to have one more, and I think Jack's got one more, too. Outside of Huntington or Spring Valley, what's one program you enjoy beating the most? Bringing the heat.
Huntington and Spring Valley?
Yeah.
Outside of them.
Who do you enjoy beating the most? We're putting you on the spot.
I enjoy winning every game.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to get like bulletin board where they say, you know, Coach Dangler says he loves BU.
Don't worry, nobody listens to this show.
Oh, they'll find it, I'm sure.
This one's not as fun. This is just something I've always been curious about. 2020, the COVID year. Uh-huh. If that plays out, do you guys win a state title?
Yeah, I mean, I would think. I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, I think a lot of people had. I think a lot of people had a chance. You know, I liked our draw because it seems like every year, you know, undefeated 9-1, eight, we're right there. And like, it seems like okay. Well, our first round we play this round. Next team we play Spring Valley. Next round we, you know what I mean? It's like the same teams. And it was the first time that I've been here that I felt like we played teams that we've never seen. Like, you know, the first game was going to be John Marshall. The second game was going to be Washington. And the third game was going to be Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, but I think there was a lot. I think there was 8-9 teams that, to be honest, had a chance to win it. And now we were number one, but we only played 5 games. But I did feel like we had a good football team. We had some weaknesses in some areas. And it was hard to tell, you know, if we were that team or not. But, you know, it stinks for everybody. I don't think about it, really. I kind of forget about that time. But it's
How long did it take to forget about it, though? Did it bother you for a while?
Yeah, I mean, no, because a lot of people, I don't know, I'm different in some ways. Like, our goal every year is to win a state championship, but at the same time, that's not our focus. You know, I know maybe it's bad, but our focus is to win each week. And, you know, they won every game they're supposed to. So it did bother the kids. It bothered me, you know, because they didn't get a chance to finish. That was the hardest part. If they'd have won every game in the playoffs, yeah, it'd have been great. But if they would have lost in the second round or semifinals or finals, you know, it still would have been a closure. Yeah. You know, and a lot of those kids, I mean, you know, even – you know, Jaden stopped by the house last week, and that was, you know, he's at Marshall, and that's the first thing he was talking about. I still can't believe we didn't get to finish, you know. So yeah. It did affect those kids, you know, that I think they didn't have a chance. And I think that's the hardest part.
All right, Jack, finish this off.
Got one more.
Do you have a game day superstition? And if you do, what is it?
Oh, gosh, that's everything.
Crocs with socks. Well,
no. Game day, super. I wear the same. I don't have too many outfits, but I wear the same. The kids, like, there's some years with the kids, you know, we don't – if they win in a certain uniform, that's the uniform we're wearing all year. Yeah. So there's been some years we didn't lose in gray for, like, 2 years, and we had 2 new sets of uniforms, and, you know, we never changed them. So it was, like, stuff like that with the kids. You know, we have pregame. We take their cell phones. Coaches pass out sticks of gum to certain people. Everything's a routine, you know, so it's kind of like from the shoes I wear to the, I don't know, there's just a lot, I think.
Aren't you a shorts every game guy, too?
Yeah, just so I have, like, one pair of dress pants. I usually wear that for, like, wedding or a church.
Yeah, it's me.
So I wear the same church outfit most weeks, you know. But I got a couple pair of khaki shorts, and I pick a pair and I wear them all year, and it's the same thing. I mean, you know, with shoes, you know. So
dude, I was at that university game last year, all right? It was so damn cold. I walked down from the press box in the fourth quarter, and I had like immediate ice hanging out of my beard. So you guys were also, you'll remember, the wind was coming up and over the stands and just hitting you guys in the face. So how are you, I mean, how do you do that in shorts, man? I really don't get it.
Well, you know, we kind of, if a coach wears shorts all year and then he kind of goes to pants at that time, Like he gets, like we pretty much ride him hard until he just gives in, or he just more or less says he's soft. You know what I mean? So I just think, you know, like a lot of times I don't make a big deal about stuff like that, but I think it's, you know, I mean, there's been some years I've practiced, you know, if it's raining, I'm in a t-shirt. If it's, the biggest thing is I just don't want the kids to think, gosh, he's bundled up. He, you know, he's got this on and we're out here freezing, you know, like heaters. We don't do none of that stuff. I mean, like if it's snowing, we're going to practice. If it's raining, if it's snowing in January and we're running, we're going to run on the field, you know? So kind of, I think you got to play football and coaching, same thing. I mean, maybe I need to be smarter, but until I lose the toe, I guess I'll keep doing what I'm doing, you know?
Absolutely. Coach, appreciate your time on the show. Thank you for having fun with us, too, and sticking through some of those rapid-fire questions. Good luck to your team as they prepare for the season, and I'm sure we'll talk to you later on during the season.
Okay, well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Coach Sammons.
Luke Sammons tougher than Ryan Pritt. Something we already knew, but definitely just got reconfirmed. Because let me tell you something.
Was that playoff game last year, University?
I was in a heated press box for three quarters, and just like I step outside and I come down. I don't know if you've ever been at University's field, but like all the bleachers are on one side.
Yeah,
and then the hill on the other side. Lines on the other side, and then beyond them is like this huge drop off valley. Mm-hmm. And all the winds coming up there. And over the bleachers, yeah. Down on the field. And, I mean, I walked over to the Midland sideline and stood there for 5 minutes, and I couldn't feel my hands. And I look over, and here's Luke. Shorts.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Crocs.
And he's not the only coach that does this. You know, Missy Smith does that in softball. Mm-hmm. Has never worn a pair of pants in softball. Always shorts. Bo Miller down at Spring Valley. Always a shorts guy. He's an assistant at Spring Valley. And it's like, there's no way, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm soft. That's probably why I don't coach. I just talk to them, right?
I've just started on that, wearing shorts. Like, I'll go all the way through, like, November.
No.
And then I'll have pants on.
Look at me today.
Yeah, I know.
I got jeans on today. I wore them yesterday to Buffalo.
I'd be perfect on his staff. I wouldn't provide any coaching ability. I would just look good out there.
Like I went to the car and got this.
Yeah, long Jack, sleeve. Got a parka before the. He's got it's a cold wet suit on.
It is cold in here.
Yeah, you got your wetsuit on.
Yeah. that was a good segment, man. This is going to be fun all year getting to know these guys.
Yeah,
I like that rapid quiet. That rapid fire really gets them to loosen up a little bit and have some fun with us. So
he seemed to enjoy it. Yeah,
it's good. We're going to continue to rotate some questions in and out of you. Just never know what might be coming at you. Brandon had a couple good ones today. Yeah. That first one was great.
Yeah, the Olympic sport one. That came to me last night after a few pops. I was full like, contact golf. Sport, that's kind of cool.
I like it.
Full contact golf.
Yeah,
that sounds like golf for me. when a few pops get involved, and the full contact is me throwing clubs.
What's full contact? Like, just, like, tackle somebody while they're driving?
We should have asked for the rules of that game.
Yeah, like, do you have, like,
there are no rules.
Yeah, that sounds like a potential high school sport.
This is a big drive here. Just drop kick them.
They're giving Quidditch scholarships away.
Oh, yeah.
And bass fishing, which I still want to know where bass fishing and cornhole scholarships were when I was a teenager.
That's right. We talked about the bass fishing. We were still doing it over at the other place. Where was it? Where's the... Where was that school that had that?
Tennessee, definitely. Yeah,
that's right. Southern SEC schools.
It's the SEC schools that make $6 billion in football every year that just have too much.
Plenty of them around here. Yeah. High schools.
Yeah, high schools do it now too. Yeah.
I know, that's cool.
Winfield had one. Parker played.
Wayne's
Parker one, was.
Yeah. Well, my stepbrother's son, he's in like the bow, whatever it is, the team
archery.
Archery.
Elkview's middle school won like a national title in that.
And an archery?
Yeah, and I still go back to the fact that does it not concern anyone else that W defeats Army every year in rifle?
Oh, I know. That is crazy.
Like, it's awesome to win titles and stuff, but shouldn't Army, like, be
untouchable? They should always win.
Like, Navy, Army, and Air Force should have their own, like, conference.
Right.
Where they don't even play anybody else.
Like a private school conference.
Because they're so good at it. They never miss. It's basically just tying with whatever a perfect score is. That's what I want Army, Navy, and Air Force. I guess Air Force doesn't do hand-to-hand. No. I don't know how that works. I'm an idiot. Thank you to all of the people that serve in our armed forces. I want to be as respectful as possible. I'm just saying.
I don't think the Air Force are considered, like... with the weapons and all that stuff. Like, they're more of the brains of the operation.
Yeah, I don't know.
No offense to all the others.
I don't know how any of that works. I just don't want West Virginia to ever beat an armed forces in rifle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because that's just true. Telling me I'd be safer hiding in Morgantown with our. No, I'm not going there.
When's Mason? We're going to have a Mason.
Yeah, just a minute. I can go and call him now if you want to.
That'd be good. Since we brought up the golf, we'll ask him what he thinks maybe the rules would be in full contact golf. See if he'll be a part of that.
Okay.
All right. So Georgia Southern, senior golfer, Bridgeport product. Mason Williams is going to join us here shortly. Thank you to Luke Sammons again for coming on and talking a little bit about his football team and having some fun with those questions too. Again, like Ryan said, we're going to be doing that all the way leading up to the first game of the season, which is a Thursday usually, right?
Yeah, that week. There's a few games that Thursday.
Thursday. So, we're going to have all these coaches here in the area and have some fun with them. All right, we'll be back here with Mason Williams coming up here on the Brandon Lewis Show with Ryan Pitt.
Show with Ryan Pritt, with Jack Withrow, with Zeke Lowe today, which is cool.
He's over there
hanging out.
He's over there taking a lot Stranger of attention, things.
Enthralled in everything we have to say. Finally, the most elusive show guest in the history of the show, Mason Williams joins us after a few weeks of trying. Mason, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I don't know about that intro, though.
Well, you know me, man. It's always a work in progress. Thanks for coming on, man. First of all, we just had Cabell Midland football coach Luke Sammons on, and I want to ask you, he said if he was to invent an Olympic sport, it would be full contact golf. A, do you think you'd be good at that? And B, what do you think the rules are to that game?
I have no idea what the rules are. I would love to say I would be good at it because that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Put an offensive line up there, and then you have 3 seconds to get your drive off, and then you get tackled.
That would increase pace of play. I know that. Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. That's something we can all agree on, right? Hey, bud, it's been a huge spring and early summer here for you, man, between, T20 and the NCAA tournament, getting through the first rounds of U.S. Open qualifiers. Man, what's it been like over this last month for you? A hectic time and a lot of big tournaments and big finishes, right?
Yeah, it has been. It definitely started with regionals up in Connecticut, went up there and played well. Team got through, and then that got us a ticket to the finals in Greyhawk in Scottsdale, Arizona. So it's been just basically a lot of travel and almost kind of a blur, to be honest with you. Just kind of been on the road for a long time and never really got to come down from the high, which is honestly probably a good thing.
Yeah. Are you a guy that I know Ryan was telling me that you're constantly working on your game, and then as he said, you go from one event to the other. And but are you a guy that has to wake up early and get to work? Or you take some time in between and in mid afternoon, or are you just at it all the time?
I would like to say I'm at it all the time. I kind of try to just fit it in and kind of fit my day around practicing. It kind of depends on what's going on. For instance, today, Bridgeport Country Club as their member guest, so I'm going to go over there in the afternoon and on here with you guys right now. So I practiced a good bit this morning, so it just kind of depends on what the day is, but it definitely the day definitely starts with practicing or playing or doing some type of competition.
Bridgeport member guest, who we got appearing over there, man? What's the biggest competition to you this very day?
Wow, I'm working it, so I don't have any competition.
I was gonna say you participating in that thing probably don't you? Is it that the place where you shot the 60, or was that somewhere else?
That was at Bridgeport, yeah.
Yeah, so you're probably once that card got framed in the clubhouse, they're like, yeah, you're no longer allowed in this member guest thing. Probably
did not get many games.
He's like the guy in the casinos that just robs the casino of all its money. It's like you are banned from this casino. Yeah.
Hey, take me through U.S. Open qualifying, man. Two steps. I know you fell a little short, obviously, but those are some hectic, grueling days there, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Got through at Ponte Vedra about a month ago now, and then played, I guess, last Monday at It was a Corn Belt setting down in Roswell, Georgia. It was a long day. We, for college, we play 36 holes pretty regularly for tournaments. It's usually the first day is 36 holes. So that wasn't anything new. But definitely the reward for getting through was a new thing. That was pretty good reward if you got through. It was tough. The golf course was set up difficult, but it was just a long battle, and got some good guys that got through. I think Patton Kizzire might have made it out of my sight. He's been on tour for a while. I forget the other three for some reason, but a lot of good guys there. Learned a little bit.
Was Ricky Fowler yours, or was he at the one in Florida there?
He wasn't at mine. I think he was in Columbus.
Okay.
I think he went after the Memorial.
Okay.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler. Yeah, he was over there.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we talk, Ryan, and obviously Ryan's been around in person a lot, and, you know, in the local area of golf, but, you know, we hear so much, obviously, about these warm weather places. I was just in Florida, and they have the Golf Hall of Fame down there, and, you know, you got Cali and Arizona and all these places that have a lot of golf courses, South Carolina. But we talk about the product of golf here in the state of West Virginia. So can you kind of talk about maybe some pride there being from the state of West Virginia and going into and playing at a high level and representing the state of West Virginia? I don't know if you ever think of that, but it's kind of cool. You come in, you individual and your team, you make that final round there in the championships of the NCAA. So can you kind of talk about, you know, the product of golf here in the state of West Virginia and kind of how you're representing the state as far as that's concerned?
Absolutely. Yeah. A good friend of mine, Justin Collins, told me this a very long time ago when I was kind of trying to figure out where to go to school, because I am so prideful of West Virginia and I love the state. It's done so much for me. And it was a very tough decision to leave and go to school at Georgia Southern. But he told me, you know, every time you tee it up in a tournament, you're always going to be from Bridgeport, West Virginia. And that kind of stuck with me now, even, I mean, that was whatever, 6 years past then. But it does just mean a lot, because there's not a ton of West Virginia guys that get out and can play, get the opportunity to play at a big event like that. And it does mean the world to me that I get to represent such a great state and such great people with just, you know, the game of golf. I'm not doing anything very serious, you know, it's just a game, and I get to represent West Virginia and show everybody what we can do.
Yeah, buddy, I know you just was your senior season this year, right? That's how old I am now. Is that right?
That's right. That's my fourth year, but I'm staying one more if that makes you feel better.
Okay, good. That was the question. So you will take the COVID year, I guess? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. I'm going to stay for a fifth year. It was a pretty easy decision now with the PGA Tour U stuff. Basically, your ranking in college can get you status on either the Corn Ferry or Latin America, PGA Tour Canada. So that was a pretty easy choice for me, to be honest with you.
Where you? He was. I didn't mean to cut you off. What did you finish? 48th? What are you, 48th in the country overall?
20th.
20. No, I meant in the country as a golfer. I think you're 48th, right?
I think it was 38. The Golf Stat ranking.
38. Okay. All right.
I don't know what the PGA Tour U ranking was.
I was just making sure that the Saudi Arabians didn't come over here and throw $30 million at you or something. That didn't happen.
Well, they definitely haven't. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that, though, for real, because, I mean, you're staying an extra year, so that means you keep your amateur status for another year. But I'm assuming, knowing you a little bit, knowing your game, that turning pro is something that you're eyeing here in the next couple years. What are your thoughts about this LIV Tour, man, and these guys going and getting heat for going? I mean, you know, if they come over here and offer you $20 million, are you going or are you staying?
Oh, I don't know.
That on the spot.
For $20 million first, I think. it's definitely a topic of conversation. It's going to be interesting to see how many more people do it. You've seen a couple young guys like James Pyatt went, Turk Pettit is gone. I think David Puig went too. Like, you can't really blame them. If somebody comes and offers you a boatload of guaranteed money and then says, here's 8 events that you can play and make money playing these events, it's basically a bonus. I mean, you just don't know. You don't know how many people are going to end up doing it. And I'd like to see how this year goes for them. It's definitely an interesting way to go about it. Definitely will change things, I think.
You going to make an appearance at the Open this year?
I will not be at the Open this year, man. I know.
Where are you going?
I'm playing a Sonny Hanna right before that, and then I got a string of events after. I can't do that to my body, unfortunately. I got to take a little break.
Well, I mean, everyone's so excited to play Stonewall. I can't believe you're missing that. That's not a knock on Stonewall.
That golf course is going to be hard.
What about the AM?
I will not be at the AM either. I'm going to be at the Western Amateur. I know. Big I hate to miss them.
Look at this
I'm
guy. Going.
He's moving on. He's big.
He's big time in all of us.
He gave the love to West Virginia, and then he's like, I'm going and I'm flying elsewhere.
Well, there's probably a lot of people in both of those fields that'd be glad to see him not there. I'm not one of them. I always enjoy having him around. But that's awesome, man. So what are all your – you mentioned a couple of them there. Are you playing pretty much all summer long? What are some of the highlights of your summer schedule?
Yeah, I'm keeping busy for sure. I leave for Sonny Hanna in a few days up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. After that, I go to Pinehurst and play the North-South. Nice. After Pinehurst, go to Sea Island for about a week and play the Southern Am there. After that, go to Statesboro right across the road and play USAM qualifying. And then hopefully go to, I think it's in Indiana for the Western, and then hopefully make USAM. And I honestly don't know where the USAM is.
Yeah.
Nice.
Why'd you cut that head of lettuce, man?
I had to.
You had to? No, you didn't have to.
Was it hot?
It was so hot. It had to, man. My hair's so thick that it was like a nest up there.
Man, it looks so good, though. Just the flowing locks after a tee shot. That was getting photos of that and sticking it in the paper. And you should see how many responses I got from women when we would put pictures of you in the paper.
Yeah. Now he's going to grow it back out.
Your wife? Was that it?
I just figured you had a girlfriend down there, and she was like, you know what, you're cutting this off. I was making sure that wasn't it.
No, that's not it. That was an independent decision.
All right. Well, buddy, man, I appreciate you coming on, finally. Hate that we'll miss catching up all summer long, but definitely happy for you. It sounds like you got some big things going. And, hey, don't forget the little people when you get out there, all right? Meaning me.
You aren't one of them.
All right, bud, we'll let you get back to your day. Enjoy it, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks. Sounds good.
All right, there he goes. Good stuff, man. Man, it's crazy the grind these golfers go on, because we've talked to
He just snuck a quick your wife joke in there.
Yeah, he did.
And he sent it right past me. Brandon caught it. I missed it. And now I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, wait a second. He say what I thought he just said?
Yeah. He threw it right at you. Yeah. Hey, you brought it, and he brought it back.
Hey, the women love him, man. Good-looking kid. What you can do?
That was when I asked him if he had the man bun underneath the hat.
No, he's not a man bun guy. He's a...
He could put out the hair and the hat. It'd be fun.
Great player. Great kid, though. Glad to have him on. And obviously, I tell you, you know, you kind of alluded to it in your question about how hard it is to make it in golf out of our state or out of a northern state or out of cold weather. I mean, look at the history of golfers in West Virginia and tell me how many successful tour players we've had.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Sam Snead was born in Virginia. I know he worked at the Greenbrier, but he's not a West Virginian. You know, I I'm not going to sit here and be like, you know, this kid's going to win five majors. No, but I do think of all of the kids I've seen come up, and I'm a big golf guy. I've been covering golf for 10 years. He's got the best shot of anybody I've seen in our state. And that's not a knock to anybody else, but the talent and the mentality that he has together and the penchant for hitting clutch shots when he needs them, he's proven to be able to do that many times in many pressure situations. And, you know, I think everybody in the state's rooting for him. He's a kid that everyone seems to like for good reason.
Sure.
You can probably tell there. He's got a good sense of humor. And, just glad to get him on and happy for him, man.
I mean, that's big things going over to a school. And again, it's Georgia. So, like, Georgia, any of that area, if you've ever been through that area, a lot of those kids, I'm sure, are from the deep south or whatever, where the warm weather is. And, you know, to have him go and go all conference, all American, and now he's doing these things where he's trying to qualify there for the USO. I mean, he's just like, the fact that he didn't stop either and continues to grind the way he is, he should have a good future.
Yeah, and
he'll land somewhere. He'll be doing some things.
Yeah, and it's the West Virginia AM and the West Virginia Open's weird. We talk about it when we're there, you know, some of the WGA guys and myself and whoever, whatever media members are there and some of the players. It's like, if you're from the state, you have a lot of pride and you want to win those. You want to play in those. But at the same time, if someone has a bigger opportunity, you're both happy and sure. a little like bummed that they're not there. It's kind of a double-edged sword for him. Obviously he's making the best decisions there. Sure, yeah. And we all get it and we're all happy for him. But, it does take a clear contender for both of those events away this summer. So
yeah, but good stuff. Good for him, man. Yeah. Good for that kid. Taking the COVID years, he's going to do another year there, which I think smart. Like he said, yeah. he can improve his ranking and, that'll give him some clout.
We did confirm 38th.
Yeah,
38th. I thought I saw like 40, but I'm
not shabby. Well, not too shabby, by the way.
That was the latest one.
Okay, yeah, good.
That's probably after the NCAA tournament. Yeah. He finished top 20 there.
Yeah, that's in the country.
On the 2nd of June. So
it's in the country.
You're an All-American at Division I level in anything.
That's crazy.
Pretty good.
And golf is a hard sport.
He's got another year and another summer, and he does. I mean, he was, like I said, he won the state championship as a sophomore. And so he was good then, but he has gotten better almost every time I've seen him play. And
the only kid on the team to make it to that final round as an individual and tied 20. I mean, that says a lot about him. So
yeah, he's got a real shot, man, and we're all rooting for him. So
all right,
good for him. You want to take a break and come back? We've got a couple things that Jack, yeah, we need to touch on here. It's been a busy few weeks since you've been here, you know.
Yeah, so, it's cool.
And it was a busy weekend.
Yeah,
for a week.
And the Big. I don't know if you guys saw Big 12 announced the. Did you see that? Teams are coming earlier.
Yeah, well, I saw Shane Lyon speculating on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We can. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff, so we'll come back and try to squeeze a bunch of stuff into 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll let everybody go.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt. Welcome back into the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt, brought to you by HD Media Sports and Video Productions. Make sure if you ever miss a show that premieres Mondays and Fridays at 4 p.m., go over to all the places. We've got a ton of them. WVGazetteMail.com, Herald-Dispatch.com, Video Productions Facebook page, all their Facebook page and social media pages, and, of course, our social media page as well at BLR Pod. I think I got that right. Did I get that right? Okay. Yeah. Because we changed that Twitter handle.
We changed the name and the Twitter handle every
time. And we got a new logo.
Yeah. The new logo is
on the screen.
So appreciate the HD for hooking us up with that. They said we needed to make a kind of a clearer image for our thing. So
looks good up there on the screen.
High resolution is what they said. So
yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah, it's been, like I mentioned before, it's been a very busy, crazy week. You know, over the last few days, and we did, you know, we need to touch on a little bit of sad news here, and I want to clear the floor and kind of let Jack go here. Lost Robert Alexander this week, and I wrote a bit on it. I didn't want to go too deep. I didn't want to be one of those people that's like, hey, I knew Robert, and then, you know, act like we were best friends. I never met the guy that I know of, but I did want to say something in it, just kind of touching on the fact that he's a guy that, as a West Virginian and as a sports fan, you just know of, and you don't remember when someone was like, hey, Robert Alexander was great. It's just something that you hear people talk about Robert Alexander and how great he was. And that's kind of all I wanted to say. I thought Chuck Landon wrote a really good piece on it for us. Obviously he was there, covered him, was real close with them at that time. And that was good. But Jack, I know you were extremely close. He was really, really close with your brothers, I believe.
Yeah.
And just wanted to kind of clear the floor here and let you give some perspective on Robert Alexander and who he was.
Yeah, you pretty much wrapped it up. I mean, they called him Alexander the Great, and there was a reason. I mean, he was, you know, and a lot of people now, they say, well, Randy Moss. You know, they saw Randy Moss play. Uh-huh. But, man, he was he was head and shoulders above that. And it was just, and nothing against Randy. Randy is, you know, one of the greatest athletes to come out of the state of West Virginia. But the hype around Robert Alexander in the mid-70s and him coming out of here, I mean, you got Joe Paterno coming up to the high school at South Charleston.
Yeah.
And I think I read somewhere that the principal at that time made Joe wait in the waiting room because Robert had to finish a test or something. So you got Joe Paterno waiting on you out here. Yeah. And, you know, USC wanted him. You know, everybody at that time went to USC if you're a running back.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's how good you were. He had over 200 scholarship offers to play football. And, I mean, you never see that nowadays. No, I mean, in social media, they put out, you know, nobody's putting out over 200. But he was just, I mean, I grew up, and, of course, my twin brothers, Billy and Johnny, played with him. They grew up with him, Spring Hill Junior High. He was a multi-sport athlete, played baseball, basketball. 20
points per game in basketball, right?
Yeah.
Saw that, too.
So, track and field. I mean, he could do it all. And not just do it all, but do it all really, really well. I mean, he was a freak athlete when we talk about those type of athletes. And, of course, a kid like me, my brothers were 12 years older than me. So I was probably 6 years old when they were seniors. So I was, you know, those guys were heroes.
Yeah.
And they had a great team in 1975. And they had just beaten Parkersburg South. And at that time, you only took four teams to the football playoffs.
Right.
So they had just beaten Parkersburg South. And this, they were the number one team in the state. South Charleston was that year. But they had to go on the road for some odd reason. And my brothers are still bitter about this. I mentioned the SSAC the other day, and John, my brother Johnny didn't have very nice things to say. But they had to go at Parkersburg South, and they just throttled them. But South Charleston lost their quarterback. Mm. I don't know if it was in that game or the game previous to that. So they went to Bluefield to play in the state championship. They're the number one team, have to go to Bluefield. It was butt cold that day. Mm. I'm still mad because my parents wouldn't take me down there because it was too cold. But ended up losing. But Bluefield just, you know, they keyed on Robert because they South Charleston didn't have their quarterback. So they knew they were going to run the ball all the time with Robert and couldn't pass. So Bluefield ended up winning the game. They're still bitter. Bitterness there. But, I mean, he was just, I mean, like I said, he was just a hero to all of us kids in South Charleston. And Homer Criddle was the head coach. He had A.J. Fields. Vic Green was an assistant coach. Marv Richardson, which is they call the old pro, was there. I believe Jim Fout was an assistant coach as well.
Lincoln County area now, right?
Well, he was at DuPont,
yeah,
and his son played at DuPont. He was my age. Man, they were just good. They had a bunch of good players, and then throw in Robert Alexander. So, but and like I said, it was just, and I felt sadness for my brothers,
sure,
and for like guys like Steve Miller, that they were grew up with Robert, and they saw that every day. And one of the great stories my brother always tells people, I think this was when they were in junior high and I was just a baby, and Robert was out at our house. And my brother always tells them that they were using me and chasing Robert around saying, he's going to pee on you. Like holding this little baby up, chasing Robert around.
That's funny.
And they chased him up on the back of the couch in our living room, and he's like screaming, get him away from him. But my brother always tells that story to people about Robert. But, I mean, he was a great guy. He was, you know, he was outgoing, a great smile. I mean, I feel the loss for my brothers and those guys, the friends.
Yeah.
And
I think that part's important to remember. And I tried to close the little bit I wrote about it with that too, is when these kind of profile people pass away, especially in our state, you know, we remember, man, he was the most recruited player in the country, man. He ran for 1,000 yards as a senior at WU, and he was a friend and a father We remember his son came and played at GW not long ago.
St. Albans and GW.
Yeah, he was a relative. And those are the stories that I like to hear. You know, I think Bryce, I called Bryce for the story. And
yeah,
he mentioned just in every picture that he saw, he was just beaming, smiling. That seems to be the thing that people...
I met him one time, and he was really, really nice to me.
Yeah.
And telling him who I was, and, you know, I was to a sports show and stuff, and he just sat to talk to me like he knew me, or we knew each other. And you mentioned Bryce, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of brought that up, too. But, I was trying to get his boy on the show. And it just never happened, but I just remember talking to him, and he was just really sweet dude. Yeah. I mean, he was really nice.
Yeah. So. I don't know if you saw the pictures that I posted on my Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, that picture was
if his amazing. Mom and dad and they're hugging. That was his last game. They played at Dunbar.
Yeah.
That where one he ran for over 300 yards and 5 touchdowns, but then he's signing the autographs.
That one where he's sitting people. There. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he signed his NIL in the governor's office.
Yeah.
This was a full blitz by the West Virginia government to get him to stay at WU. Yeah. I mean,
you can look back at it now, and I'm sure people back then were like, yes.
Yeah,
We kept him here in the state. But then, you know, me, I'm thinking, man, why didn't you go to USC or Penn State?
Yeah.
Things could have been different.
For sure.
You know, and I'm a big W supporter and fan, but
you're right though.
But did you look at the big picture of somebody, as an individual? I mean it has been so much better.
It hasn't really necessarily changed,
you know.
We want to keep I'm our in state talent.
I'm just saying, even now. I mean, I know W's in the Big 12, but you know, if a kid can go to Ohio State, Penn State, you know, schools like that.
I tried not to get into that because it's I don't know.
But I know what you're saying.
You know, reading up and researching a little bit, I mean, he was a human, you know. There were things that happened back then that he overcame, and I think that makes him even more West Virginian, even more of an inspiration to people because, you know, and who knows how much all of that played into what happened then. I don't know. But you know, especially for us here in Kanawha County, Putnam County, I mean, And Scott James said it. Scott James gave me a one-sentence answer, and it was the most poignant thing he could have said. He said, you say his name, and generations remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never even saw the guy. I never met the guy, and I know about him.
Yeah, right? I do. I mean, yeah, obviously.
So we wanted to give Jack that time there. Obviously, someone was close to him, and thanks for that. It was cool stories, and just we as a podcast, I think, want to extend our condolences to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That knew him and was affected by him, whether you remember watching him play or
got run over by him,
stepped on.
I was like, did you guys? Because Bryce and him were the same exact age. I didn't know that. Bryce was a senior at Ripley when he was a senior at South Charles. I said, did you play against each other? Bryce said, no, thank God. But he did go see him play, and that told me a lot too. I mean, when you're a senior football player at one school and you make a trip to Charleston to go see another kid play.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can just remember being like, oh, my God. Like, wow. Yeah. So
I mean, it's like our time watching Randy or O.J. Mayo play.
Yeah, O.J. Mayo. Like, those guys. Just watching that film you had that you put up, too.
Yeah.
The guy just ran with ease. He just glided across the field.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch him run, I mean, it's just a simple glide, and he just goes. It's a thing of beauty, man.
He makes offensive linemen look good.
Yeah, he did. I mean, just – I don't know, effortless when you watch him.
One of the greatest prep athletes in the history of our state, for sure.
In the history of the United States, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was the number one player by Parade Magazine that year.
Yep.
So
unbelievable.
Yeah. So, condolences to everyone. Wanted to touch on that. Want to touch on a crazy north-south story from yesterday.
Okay.
By the way, it's north-south week. We got boys and girls basketball doubleheaders. By the time this comes out at 4, if you leave right when you're hearing this, you can get over there to see the girls play at 6, probably. but that'll be good. By the way, that's the first time it's been a doubleheader since 2005.
Oh, really?
That's cool. The girls game went kaput after Alexis Hornbuckle and Renee Montgomery left. They brought it back in 2016. Coach Beckman up at East Fairmont brought it back and held it at Glenville for a few years. Now it's finally back where it belongs. The doubleheader is going to be cool. They got skills comps down there at like 5.
That's cool.
And then if you're around South Charleston tomorrow, you can go check out the football game. Obviously, that's the the exclamation point on the week. That's down at South Charleston High School tomorrow. So go check those out. I had softball yesterday, which was a 12-hour deal because, you know, why wouldn't it be? But first of all, just extending the people of Buffalo, and I'm talking about Coach Billy Raznick, but Daryl Moore's still involved. He was a longtime Buffalo coach. Jim Mays, who served as head coach, he's still around. Those guys and gals down there, really, they volunteer their time to make sure this thing happens. Mm-hmm. I truly believe if it wasn't for them, that thing would probably go away too. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say, you know, recognize them and give them, you know, their props as well for sacrificing time to make sure this still happens for the kids. And really, I mean, what they've done with it's great. So instead of a North-South team, you've got a team from each region. So you've got four teams. And they play a straight-up semifinals consolation game and a championship game. And they have skills comps and all of that stuff, too. And you get to see. I mean, this senior class, we've talked about the talent mm-hmm. level in this sport. It was some really cool stuff to see yesterday, you know.
That's awesome.
So your double-A co-captains, Lena Elkins of Nitro, and you'll remember Kennedy Dean mm-hmm. of Winfield. We had her on right here. They were named co-captains of the double-A team on Tuesday. Of course, they played each other in the sectional finals a few weeks back with Kennedy's Generals edging Nitro 2-1. Kennedy takes her senior trip to Las Vegas, where her aunt lives, and Lena goes on senior beach week to Myrtle Beach. And they both choose to fly back at, like 3 days early to play in the North-South game. This is what it means to people. Mm-hmm. You'll never believe this. American Airlines screws some flights up, right? So they get to Charlotte. Imagine that, the hellhole that Charlotte International Airport is. And a connecting flight gets delayed like 9 times. Mm. So Kennedy Dean's sitting in the airport, and she looks across the aisle, and guess who's sitting there? Lena Elkins, who's coming from the other direction. They're waiting on the same flight. You can't even make it up, right? So the flight was originally supposed to leave at like 7. It gets delayed all the way back to midnight. They board the flight at 12:30, only to then be told to deboard. The flight's not leaving. Lena's mother, Lori, leaves from Nitro. This is at 1 o'clock a.m.
Wow.
The airport's 5 hours.
Yeah,
I know because I did that last year, too. Drives down, picks up Lena at the airport at about 6 a.m., turns around as offers Kennedy a ride, but Kennedy's got two friends with her, so she can't leave them. Drives back through Virginia, picks up a quick speeding ticket in Virginia. As we all know, that's easy to do on that stretch. Hope she doesn't mind me telling that part of it. Drives straight to Buffalo High School, so I'm sitting there in between semifinals, and just as Region 4, who both of them would play for, is winning their semifinal game, in walks Lena, straight out of the car. Goes over to the skills competition, goes ahead and wins the overhand and underhand toss real quick. I don't know if she slept more than a few hours. I know she said she slept in the car. And then she's ready to play in the afternoon in the championship game, right? Mm-hmm. Back in Charlotte, Kennedy Dean's now canceled flight is rescheduled for 7:30 a.m. Thursday morning. Gets delayed to 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, and noon. Well, her and her friends were on a standby list and happened to catch another flight. They had three vacancies. At 9:30, she lands in Charleston at 10:30, drives straight to her house, showers, gets in her uniform, comes to the game, and just in time for the championship game at 3 o'clock, here's Lena Elkins warming up, throwing to catcher Kennedy Dean. And that's your starting battery in the final game.
That's crazy.
Start the final game. Kennedy Dean hits a go-ahead three-run homer in the fifth inning as Region 4 wins 7-5 and wins their second straight. She was named MVP of the game.
That's unbelievable.
Region 2 girls
can't are make that up.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so one was
that the story you put out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to read it. So I didn't know what you were talking about.
I mean, yesterday, that sometimes they just write themselves. I'm like, okay, this is...
I was actually happy I didn't read that.
I mean, Lena didn't get a police escort like she did for the state tournament.
I should have mentioned that. And by the way, Lena today, our first of two major awards comes out. She's the state pitcher of the year. So that comes out today. Yeah, after striking out 300 and how many ever.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But
that's
great. I mean, yesterday on that Region 4 team, I mean, it was pretty crazy, like the amount. And the Kanawha Valley kids were across three teams, and they all produced yesterday. And it was just some – that thing's awesome. Just some really high-level all-star stuff. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I'm just happy I didn't read – usually I read your stuff, but I shared it on our page. I've been sharing your articles over, and I just saw the headline, and I just thought it was – you know, I just didn't read it. So yeah, I'm glad
Kennedy said she slept on the airport floor – with her backpack as a pillow. Said she probably got about an hour to an hour and a half of sleep. And then flew home. That was after flying from Vegas. There's already some jet lag probably there. Then drove straight home and then came over and hit a go-ahead home run and won MVP of the title game. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
That's
it.
That's crazy.
Oh, and by the way, we'll play four games today in a travel tournament in Ohio.
Jeez.
It's that grind we're talking about, man.
Good for her. Ryan Pritt, not nearly as tough as Luke Sammons or Kennedy. Also stuff we already knew. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
wanted cool. Wanted to touch on that story. That was pretty crazy. And then, of course, you touched on the Big 12 stuff. What we got going on there?
Yeah, so originally, as we know, Texas, Oklahoma, we thought they would maybe do an early exit, but it's probably not going to happen since the whole network thing happened. But 2025 is when all these teams are supposed to come over, all the teams that Big 12 is adding after Texas, Oklahoma leave. You know, UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, those schools. Well, they're now going to come over to the Big 12 in 2023.
Yeah.
So they are making an early exit. They made a deal with the AAC to early exit, which we kind of could expect that because especially with a school like Houston has a ton of money and UCF has a ton of money and, you know, Cincinnati with their continued success and, you know, they got Kroger backing them. And if you're talking about corporate businesses and things like that. So yeah, they're going to make an early exit out of there and they're going to join the Big 12 in 2023. So that means, folks, if Dana Holgorsen sticks around in Houston another year, which he probably will, you're going to have a Holgorsen.
Well, won't they put him in divisions, though?
Well, we'll see. I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't necessarily mean that.
But
good chance.
Good chance. So that's a possibility that we'll have possibly Holgorsen coming back to.
How confident are you in West Virginia if they had to play Houston tomorrow?
Not confident.
Can you imagine Morgantown if Holgorsen rolls in, they just kick W's teeth in and leave?
It's going to be crazy.
Not saying that would happen. I'm just saying, I mean, last year.
I mean, they beat Auburn, which Auburn's whatever, in a bowl game.
But Houston would have had to have been like an 8 or 9 point favorite last year on a neutral field. Right?
Against WU?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They were nationally ranked, obviously, AP, and then playoffs took, you know, their sweet time, though.
Oh, JT Daniels just does what he's supposed to do and wins a Heisman and a national title this year. They'll be okay.
That's what I hear. His Heisman odds are at, if anybody wants to try to make money, I think it's at like
not that we condone 3,000 behavior or anything.
It's like plus 3,000 or something.
Yeah, he's in the top 20. Like
yeah.
10, yeah.
He's like Stroud and all those guys are up there, and then he's like right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I got started on opponent previews today. I'm starting to look at Pitt. So by Monday, I'll have a good idea of a couple of these teams. You remember we did that last year. All of a sudden, Jack, one day I just come in and I know everything about a W and opponent. Like, how do you know? Well, I just had to write an opponent. I love how one job just feeds the other. But
by the way, Stroud, speaking of him over Ohio State, just picked up a $1 million deal with Bentley.
You're also looking at the only guy in the country that gave him an AP Player of the Year vote.
Yeah.
Still think he was the best player in the country last year.
I do
think
too.
He is this year. Just saying.
I agree.
Well, he got a pretty decent weapon to throw to over there, too. Mm-hmm. That guy had 300 yards in the Rose Bowl. They lose three receivers, and none of them are the best receiver on the team.
Yeah, that offense is bonkers. They're going to be good again.
Dumb. That offense is dumb. Yeah, not. I mean, they
got to be national title
favorites.
We need
to start looking at some preseason futures bets here in the next couple weeks. But Ohio State to win the Big Ten, I kind of like that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what the odds are, but.
I know we're hard to, and I hate doing really, really early favorites or championship, national championship, but it's really hard for me. I know I root for them, but it's hard for me to not have them right there with Bama and all that. But you don't go past Saban, though.
Yeah, I don't know about national championship.
You don't think so? I think their defense is going to be a lot better. Brought old dude from Oklahoma State over there.
They better be a lot better.
They were terrible last year.
They were terrible. It's like a cheese grater last year.
If you could stop anybody, they could have done a lot bigger things.
I don't know. You know, the thing that stuck out me most, not to get down this rabbit hole because we need to wrap it up in a few, but I'm just not sure after watching last year, and I know they were playing Cincinnati, but Georgia was playing Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the lines of scrimmage in both of those games looked like an NFL line against the high school line.
It Georgia awful. Punked Michigan bad, and so did obviously Bama with Cincy. But
you look at that Cincinnati score. And, you know, I've been as big of a Cincinnati backer as anybody. And it wasn't that bad. But Cincinnati's the most lucky that the score was what it was.
It should have been way worse.
Up front, Alabama did whatever they wanted on defense and offense. And until these other teams catch up front, that's where it is. Ohio State's skill position players are as good as anybody's, if not better. I mean, look at Jameson Williams. He couldn't play at Ohio State. He ends up being one of the best wideouts in the country at Alabama. What Ohio State and none of these other teams have is up front.
Yeah,
and it's the depth up front. Ohio State may have a first-team offensive line that's as good, but Alabama brings three strings of them in.
Oh, I know.
15 guys that'll start in the NFL right
now.
Yeah,
I know. Georgia's bonkers right now, too. I think Georgia might be on a dynasty run.
I don't know. I'm a look. You know, the team I think is most intriguing to me is Clemson.
Yeah, what happens with them?
Do they bounce back? Are they still there? You know, what happens there? So, but we got a lot of time to get into that, I think.
Of course, their D coordinator is now the head coach at Oklahoma, his old his school.
Yeah, Brent Venables.
We got
time to talk college football.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We'll dive into some future.
I'm ready for NFL, actually.
Well, I know you got your Bill shirt.
I'm ready for that. Hey, by the way, before we get off the show here, that was I wore the shirt at Disney.
You wear that shirt every day.
No. Well, I mean, it was a different week.
Okay.
I only have so many T-shirts, Ryan. Come on.
By the way, this one's for you, Bryce Casto. A little rush tie job today.
We're kind of matching in a way today. A little blue action here.
Yeah.
My wife at one point was like, you should be a Disney character because I can't tell you how many Go Bills I got yelling from multiple distances of. I got at least like 20 of people. And one girl was like, I'm not kidding. She was like 50 yards away at a beer line.
She flash you?
No. She was like, Go Bills. And I didn't hear it at first. She was like screaming. And I look back. I'm like, is she talking? I was like, oh, yeah, she is talking to me. Just screaming it. One guy had a button-up Bills shirt, came by. It was kind of fun, man. It was kind of funny. A lot of Buffalo
people there.
Did you
tell me you've been a big fan for the last half 20 year?
20 years, man.
Yeah.
20-year life.
20 years. Yeah.
Hey, I've been to games.
I've been a Bills fan since we started doing this show.
No, I've always liked them, but I've never been. I'm not a fan of any NFL team. I just like, I may come in here with a brown shirt. At some point,
I have a brown shirt too. Actually,
I don't have a team. I like Buffalo as a city. I like their fan base. I like Josh Allen.
Are you buying this, Jack?
No.
You're a Bills fan if they're winning. If they go 6-10 next year, 6-11, we won't hear about the Bills again. It's kind of like how I haven't heard about LeBron James from me in the last few years.
No. I still really like LeBron. I respect his game.
Have you ever heard him talk about LeBron James?
I'm not going to bring it up because it's just going to make him upset. No one wants to hear that.
Hey, calmer than you are.
Calmer than you are, dude.
That sounds like a good way to end it.
All right. Yep.
All right. Thanks thanks to Luke Sammons and Mason Williams, of course.
Thank you to our guests. Appreciate it. We'll have the coaches on every episode.
We need
Mondays and Fridays, 4 p.m.
HWGazetteMail.com. Yep. Herald-Dispatch.
It's hard to say.
Video Productions.
Our social media pages at BLO Show on Facebook, at BLR Pod on Twitter.
Generations Physical Therapy, Susie's Biscuits.
J-Dub Tweets.
Oh, wait. They're still not sponsoring us?
The J-Dub
Tweets. The J-Dub Tweets. Yep. Jack changed his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Like the logo, too. Are you going to put that up?
It's on there?
Okay. I haven't looked.
Hey, thanks for hanging with us for so long today, guys. Had a lot to get through, obviously.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Feel like I've been gone forever. So, all right. We'll talk to you on Monday here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Craig.
Thanks, guys.